I'm thankful to be back again tonight. Thank you all for coming. I was telling my girls, I said, y'all don't have another song ready tonight. And they says, no, Daddy, somebody else needs to have a chance to sing. We don't want to feel like make people feel like we're just hogging it, you know. And so, go ahead, Brother Randy. Yeah, there you go. So, anyway, just... we'll go ahead and get into the Word of God tonight. Hope everybody had a restful day and got you, and peaceful, and was able to get you a little, maybe some shut eye, look at the back of your eyelids a little bit, and so to get a kind of refreshed start again. This week, Friday, I don't know if y'all heard about it or not, but... this past Friday, Black Lives Matters, they were nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. Did y'all hear about that? That was in major news. I'm not joking. I mean, it sounds like it would be a joke. But anyway, when I heard about that, my wife read that news line to me. I thought, wow, you can't make that stuff up, can you? This is just unreal. And that shows you what our world's coming to, isn't it? My goodness. Whew. Well, tonight I told you I would be preaching and teaching on the attack on your Bible. The attack on your Bible. Before I read the scripture text for tonight, one of the things I did not have time to get to this morning in the Sunday school lesson, and I did not bring the false versions back in with me tonight here, so I don't have one to show you what it says, but I can tell you what it says. And we talked about it a little bit this morning, the very one that is behind the destruction of your Bible, to try to destroy it, to put it out of commission, to do away with it. Now, that's the goal, and so forth. And the one behind all of that is Satan himself. He's removed his name everywhere he can out of those new versions, those false versions, and satanic versions, perverted versions, whatever label you want to put on them. And one of those things is in Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. And for our text tonight, we're going to be running to Isaiah chapter 59. But Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12. Now, our King James Bible says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations?" Now, without a doubt, you and I that have been born again at any length of time here, been saved for any length of time, and we have read our Bibles and been to church in a Bible-believing church, we know who this person called Lucifer is, don't we? Yes, that was Satan's first name. That's what he was known as when he was a cherub that was created. And it says that in the book of Ezekiel chapter 28. And matter of fact, in Ezekiel chapter 28, in those perverted versions, they will change that he wasn't created, that he was born. Yeah. Isn't that something? But in this... in the perverted versions for this Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, they change old Lucifer to morning star. Morning star. Now, in reference to that, you can go back over to the book of Hebrews, book of Revelation chapter 22, verse 16. And what they're doing, what Satan tries to do, he tries to deceive people and get them to think that in Isaiah 14, 12, when they read that, that that's talking about Jesus Christ instead of himself. So he asserts his name there in the false versions. He takes it from Revelation chapter 22, verse 16. "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star." Our Lord and Savior, one of his names is Morning Star. So Satan asserts himself as that. You see, I even And my wife has heard me say this many times. I walked into a Christian bookstore one time up in North Carolina before I moved to Florida. And on their glass case, display case right there, and they had all these Bibles, different kinds, different versions up there on the shelves. But on their display case, they had one open. It happened to be, when I walked up to it, it was turned to Isaiah chapter 14. And I read that thing. Right there, where it said in verse 12, and they had a little asterisk beside of it. This was an NIV study Bible that they had laid up there for sale. And that little asterisk they had beside that meant that it had a footnote below. And I looked down there at that footnote, and you will not believe what that footnote said. It shocked me. It said, most Bible scholars believe that this is talking about Jesus Christ. I couldn't believe it. I said, my goodness. Why can't Christian people see through this thing? Why can't they see where Satan and these false scholars, these perverted scholars, is trying to deceive the children of God? I mean, they put it right in front of their faces. Anybody that bought that Bible or looked at that NIV would have saw that footnote there. And so there, it's just plain as day. Well, if you will, turn over your Bibles, chapter 59 of Isaiah, chapter 59. I'm going to say tonight that there's a great dearth and a famine in our country today, like it's never been before. And it's not of food. We have plenty to eat. But it's of the Word of God. There's a famine of the Word of God. And that's the reason why our churches are drying up and blowing away. That's the reason why our churches are closing their doors. That's the reason why there's no one being one to the Lord. And that's the reason why you have these non-denominationals and all this that's on the rise, it seems like, so on and so forth. And they're going there and they think they're worshiping God. But I'm here to say I don't think God's in 1,000 miles of that. You go in there and you bring in that rock music and those lights are flashing everywhere and you're hooping and hollering. You got your dance team up there on the stage and all this mess and people falling out and everything. God's not in that. God's not the author of confusion. God's a God of order. And so the most needed thing in the United States of America today, and in our homes, in our churches, in our schools, and in our everyday lives is the Word of God, the Scriptures found in our beloved King James Bible. That's the most needed thing of all. We may say that, well, we're in need of better politicians. We're in need of the debt crisis that we're having in America. Or we're in need of a better economic system, and so forth. But I'm here to say that you can't have that until you get it right with God. Until you put His Word first and foremost. America will never be what it used to be as long as they continue to fall away from God's Word. And I'm going to mention a word tonight, and it's called apostasy. And I'll get into that in a little bit. But that's where we are at in America today, whether we like to realize that or not. We can just kind of stick our heads in the sand and say, oh, well, you know, maybe this too shall pass. But I'm telling you, that's where we're at today. Isaiah chapter 59, if you will. The Bible says, therefore, is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold, obscurity. That's where we're at today. Oh, verse 9, I'm sorry. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 9, I'm sorry. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. That's exactly where America's at today. And I'm here to say that's where most of American churches are at today. They're walking. They're trying to go for brightness, but they're walking in darkness. Verse 10 says, we grope for the wall like the blind. And we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord. Now we could just stop right there and just go up with them. I'm not done yet. Every time that another perversion of the Bible comes out, and every time people continue to turn toward that stuff and read that stuff, and every time preachers promote it, my friends, that's what's happened. They are transgressing against the Lord. They are lying against the Lord. And departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth far off, for truth is fallen in the street, and iniquity cannot enter. Yea, truth falleth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, I want to thank you again tonight, dear God, for all your many blessings. Lord, I want to thank you most of all for your precious word, the truth of it. Father, for the steadfastness of it. And Lord, help us tonight to get a greater understanding of your word, and a greater understanding and to see the picture of what's happening to our country. And Father, give us a zeal tonight from the Holy Spirit of God that we will stand and not be deceived, that we will stand for you no matter what the cost, no matter what comes against us. But Lord, we will stand true to you. Lord, help us to seal that in our hearts. For we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll turn over to Jeremiah chapter 23, please. And I'm going to skip some of it. I can't read the whole chapter. But there's some very important verses that we can pertain to how the Word of God has been changed and so forth by these corruptors, these scholars, these so forth. And that's just the lying and the transgressings that's been going on in our land. And that's what has brought us to this problem that we have in this country today. You know why it's so easy for the politicians to lie to the American people? Why? They don't know the truth, no. But because God's people have allowed lies to come into their church by these perverted versions. Just think about that for a minute. I mean, you have here a church, a King James Bible believing church, body of believers. Yes. And you might say, well, Michael, why aren't you preaching this somewhere over there in that ecumenical movement? I'm trying to warn us not to let the falseness creep into the doors. Not even the doors of your church, but not even the doors of your home, you see. Not even in your life, you see. We have become so adapted this day and time to kind of tolerate everything. Everything's in the name of toleration. And what you let get by today will come up and bite you tomorrow. I'm a person that I believe in nipping it in the bud. Kind of like Barney Fife would say. I don't run from the problem. I want to turn and I want to go toward it. I want to get that thing solved. I want to get it out of the way and be done with it, you see. I want to fight that thing. I'm not going to tuck my tail between my legs and run. And that's the way a born-again Christian, that's what we should have, and that's how we should have our mindset, you see, about the Word of God. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 1, "Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord." That's what's happened in many churches across our land. No wonder our land is like it is today. No wonder our country is suffering like it is today. And I was going to say a while ago, let me back up. Why can't the politicians understand truth? Why is it so easily that they can lie? Because the heads of churches, the ones that should be teaching people truth, the ones that should be telling people stand for what's right and preaching truth, have done what this verse 1 says. "Woe unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people." There's so many today out there. The pastorship is just a job. That's all it is to them. Most of them would not even entertain preaching at a church without being paid and being on a salary and so forth. And they wouldn't even entertain the thought of saying, just, well, you know, if I'm going to feed the sheep, then I deserve something. No, we're called of God. Now, I believe a man is worthy of his hire. I do believe that. But I'll come up here to preach for y'all because of any money. If you didn't pay me a dime, I'd still be glad to preach the Word of God to you, you see. But many men are not like that. And what we've got out there today that's been churned out of a lot of our Christian colleges and seminaries is men that have a occupation now. They've got a job. Instead of being a pastor first and feeding the flock, they've become men that wants the money, you see, and seeing what they can gain in life instead of trusting God to give them what they need. Now they said right there in verse 2, "Ye have scattered my flock." Because why? Because he did not feed them. "And driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord." And there's a lot of so-called preachers. I'm telling you, at judgment day, has got to give an answer unto God of the things that they did against God's people. In verse 4, "And I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them. And they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord." Let's go down to verse 11. The Bible says, "For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness." Verse 15, go down there. "Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood, and make them drink the water of gall, for from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth in all the land." Well, I looked up that word profane. Very interesting in what the dictionary has to say about that, what that word means. Profane means to treat something sacred with abuse, irreverence, contempt, to desecrate and violate, to debase by wrong, unworthy, or vulgar use, to defile. And I'm here to say tonight that every perverted version out there has done that to the Word of God. Every Bible scholar that has anything to do with those things, any Bible corrector that has to do with them things and supports these false perverted versions, they have profaned the Word of God. They've abused it. They've defiled it. They've desecrated it. They've been irreverent. They showed irreverence to it. And by doing so, they have showed irreverence to our God. You know, those Muslims, they got that their book of the Quran. You know they'll kill for that thing if you say something against it? Man, they take that book so seriously, and it's false, of a false god. But they'll take it so seriously, they'll give their lives for that thing if somebody desecrates it. But we just let people just trample over it, our Bible. Well, verse 22 of Jeremiah 23. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. But see, mankind didn't do that. The preachers didn't do that. That's the reason why we got all this loose living and everything out there today. Verse 28, let's skip down to there. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. That's what's required of a preacher. To speak God's words faithfully. Not only a preacher, but also any born-again Christian. We're to speak it faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. And that's what's happening. That's what's perverting to many of our young people in your Christian schools and colleges today. You've got some teacher in there that's saying, oh, this is what the Lord saith. Did he? You see. And use some kind of perverted version to try to teach them from. And say, this is a better understanding, as I covered this morning. Well, one more verse from that, verse 36. And the burden of the Lord shall be mentioned no more. For every man's word shall be his burden. For you have perverted the words of the living God, of the Lord of hosts, our God. Woe, I say, unto those that change God's word. Woe unto those that add to God's word. Woe unto those that diminish from God's word. I would not want to be in their shoes when they stand before God. I fear God and I fear his word. And I don't want to change one bit of it. A.W. Pink, many years ago, in his book, In the Inspiration of the Scriptures, he wrote that the indestructibility of the Bible is proof that its author is divine. Every possible effort has been made to undermine and destroy faith in the inspiration and the authority of the King James Bible. The King James Bible has survived the attacks of so-called Bible scholars and liberals, survived the Bible critics, the Bible heretics, and Bible haters. But most of all, the King James Bible has survived the lying and the subtle attacks by the very ones who say they believe the Bible, but they will not admit nor submit to you that they have a copy of the inspired scriptures that is their final authority. And that's what you've got happening across this land today. Even in so-called Bible-believing churches, you've got men that'll stand up there, and they're just like I told you this morning. I was faithful to that church up in North Carolina. I'd been there for a couple of years when I had moved to there, in that area. I had high regard and high respect. But when they told me, you don't have to be a fanatic about that book, and they started telling me that the other perversions out there, the other Bibles is what they call them, they're all right. There's nothing wrong with them. And I didn't tell you this morning, but one of those packs of papers, stacks of papers that was left on the podium in my Sunday school classroom was a copy from the college where this guy had graduated from, the Bible College. And it's written by his Greek professor. And the title of that thing, "Which Bible is Correct?" "They're all correct. You choose." That was the title of it. I'll never forget it. I was done with it then when they left that stack of papers. That day after I finished teaching, I went to the pastor, shook his hand, and told him I was leaving and why I was leaving. Well, the King James Bible has survived all these years of being attacked by the devil and his crowd. You know, a very small percentage of books survive more than 20 years. And yet a smaller percentage even lasts 100 years. But yet our King James Bible has lasted over 400 years under all these attacks by these Bible haters. And our King James Bible still outsells all those perverted ones put together. Praise God for that. The Holy Scriptures stand out like the last survivor. The very fact that the King James Bible continues to be in existence is an absolute indication that, like its author, it is indestructible. So where does the Bible attacks come from? The King James Bible has been the most intensely loved book in all the world, but on the other hand, it has been the most hated and bitterly hated book in the world. The King James Bible has received more veneration and adoration than any book on our planet, but it's also been the object of more opposition and persecution than any other book on our planet. Every possible effort has been made to undermine the faith and trust in the inspiration and the authority of our King James Bible. Every time a new version, perverted version of the Bible comes out in print and is promoted by these lying hypocrites saying this new version's easier to read, better to understand, closest to the original, it's taken from the oldest manuscripts. This is an attack on your King James Bible. You got these publishers. They publish a new perverted Bible and start promoting it. They'll come out and they'll say, "Well, we think we need a new version. We got a new, a better idea now." Really? Who gave you that idea? Would that come from God? To change His word? To pervert His word? As it said in Jeremiah 23, verse 36 down there, "For you have perverted the words of the living God." The perverting of God's word brings about doubt of the Bible, causes a lack of fear for God. This brings about a callousness and a hard-heartedness toward the word of God and toward salvation. We can see that all around us, can't we? Everywhere we go, seems to be a callousness, a hard-heartedness toward the Word of God. And I'm telling you, as I said this morning, if the Lord tarries, you ain't seen nothing yet as far as persecution. There's been no great revival. Think about it. Look back on history. I'm a history studier. I study history. I love history. But I can tell you this, you better be careful who you study history by. History is only as good as the one that's writing it. Do you hear me on that? History is only as good as the one that's writing it. It's only true as truthful as the one that's writing it. Our history books in our schools has been dumbed down. They've been, and the children are being lied to. I remember the history books I went to public school. But I look at some of the history books that my children use for homeschool. Wow, I was lied to even back then. Well, check your history. There's been no great revival in the past 120 years or so. If there's been one, let me know about it. I'm talking about a great revival. Yes, there's been little outbreaks here or there of revival meetings where people would get saved. But since these perverted versions has come on the scene and been put into the homes, into the churches, into the pulpits of the American churches, you tell me where there's been a great revival. See, them men, Finney, Spurgeon, Moody, great men of God, were there was great revivals. What book did they use? That's what they used. This King James 1611 Bible. That's the one they used. Revival won't come by using those other false, perverted words of God. The callousness and the hard-heartedness and the lack of fear toward God and the doubt of the Bible and the perverting of the Word of God has brought on an apostasy across our land. An apostasy is a falling away from a standing position. That's what it means. A falling away from a standing position. Once were preachers stood with the Word of God and honored it and believed it and preached the truth of it. Now is gone into apostasy. They fell away from a standing position. Dr. Peter Ruckman wrote, "What this means, apostasy, is that a man professes to believe something he does not believe. Or he professes to be standing for something he no longer stands for it. This is typical of your modern day preachers and many of the modern day Baptist churches. Many of them use, quotations around use, the King James Bible because they prefer it, not because they believe it." And that's true. That's true. Apostasy does not all of a sudden show up. No. It comes in a gradual, deceitful, subtly it comes in. And that's what I warn you folks about. Don't think it can't happen to you. Don't think it can't happen to your children or your grandchildren. I show my children the true Word of God. You know, in the counterfeit section of our country, of FBI and so forth, you know, they don't study all the fake $100 bills out there, the false ones, the counterfeit ones. No. You know what they do in their classrooms? They take a real $100 bill, and that's the one they give them to study. So that automatically when they pick up one that is counterfeit, they'll know it. If we'll teach our young people the true Word of God, and not to be deceived. When they see a counterfeit, they'll realize it. It would do us well. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says, "Now the serpent was more subtle," that's the devil, "than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you should not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. But see, there's something wrong in what Eve said in her communication with the serpent. See, God hadn't told them not to touch it. You go over there to Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. Here's what God said. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. There is no mention of neither shall you touch it. Eve added five words to what God had said. Neither shall you touch it. But that seems so harmless, doesn't it? But see, the great sin of that is she changed what God said. She added to what God said. And matter of fact, I believe the Bible, God is so accurate that there was five words she said that she added to God's word. You know what five is in the Bible? I know sometimes it means grace once in a while. But number five predominantly means death. Because in Genesis chapter 5, that's the first mention, and they died. And they died. And they died. Five is a number of death. Five letters in death. But she said five words, and it brought death to all mankind. Sin against God. Apostasy always begins in the same place. Down through the generations. It begins in the Christian centers of higher learning. Your Christian colleges. Your Christian seminaries. That's where they can get a hold of the minds of your young people. And they can turn it and twist it. And they had not said a little bit this morning about they'll go in, believe in the King James Bible, and they'll come out with their book stolen from them. It begins with the Christian colleges and seminaries when their professors and their leaders change the words of God without any conviction, fear of God. These Bible corruptors produce scholars and teachers and preachers that will follow their school's alma maters and creed without any reservation. And I say that because I've had them tell me that. Oh, that's my alma mater. Very prideful of your school, huh? Very prideful of your school that's perverting the words of God and perverting the minds of young people against the word of God, huh? That's something to really pat yourself over the back about, isn't it? They place their professors and their school first, and they place God somewhere else in the list, you see. He'll fit in, we'll place him in somewhere down the road in the list of things. From Germany to England, from England to America, Christian educators have been at the root of apostasy for the past 400 years. While these apostates say they believe in the inspired original autographs, of which no one has even had a piece of, they will critique, they'll tear apart, they'll pervert the King James Bible in order to desensitize you to what is true, what you believe, and it'll cause people to believe a lie. And with that, God says, okay, you want to believe a lie? This is what he tells this country of America. You want to believe a lie? You want to pervert my words? Okay. All right. Here's what I'll do to you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. And with all deceivableness and of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth and had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's the judgment of God upon a nation that rejects God's words. That's what it is. And we see it all around us. Like I said this morning, these things aren't just happening. You didn't have the election just stolen and everything like that by just a group of people. It happens because God's people has left God's word. That's where it starts at. You see. It goes back to Isaiah chapter 59 that I read as a text. They're looking for light, but yet they're groping in darkness, as if they're blind. They're groping around, you see. In the noonday, they're still blind. Well, what the attack has caused and the effects thereof. And this saddens my heart when I look about and I see the effects and the demise of our country that this has caused. I am a red-blooded American, and I love my country. And it saddens me when we see our country in the condition that it is in. When these false versions started permeating our churches, it had a radical change in our country. And some of us are old enough to remember that. By corrupting God's words, it has had and is having, it has had and is having a debilitating effect on our moral and our social and religious and economic structures of this whole country of the United States of America. Since these false versions have come on the scene in America, you have had the rock and roll and the heavy metal and all this other junk and garbage and the rap has come on the scene. See, that just didn't come on the scene just by chance. It came on the scene because there was people that knew what they should believe in a book and they went away from it. They apostatized. They didn't stand for anything anymore. Nowadays, now you got your rock and your rap and contemporary so-called Christian music that's prevailing in our churches. And let me say this. The first thing to go in a church is usually the music. Once you ever compromise your music standards, then you'll compromise your Bible. And then you'll compromise everything else, your standards and everything will fall behind that. That's the demise of every church out there that has gone that way of apostasy. First, they let their standards of music down. They let it creep in the door. Oh, it doesn't. This song sounds good. I can feel it. Makes me feel good. First of all, how does it make God feel? Second of all, is it written about God and for Him and from Him? I'll stick with the old songs. I'll stick with the old way. Well, there's no standards in the music anymore. And then, as we see this apostasy continue, we see prayer. The effects of it now. This is the effects of apostasy. We see prayer and the Bible has almost become criminal in our schools. Has it not? They'll threaten kids if they was to take a Bible to school They'll threaten to expel them from school for bringing that book. And you better not be caught reading it. You better not be telling anybody about it. That's what our schools have become. And because of this apostasy, this perverting of God's word, our schools have become war zones. And you can't tell me they haven't. Tomorrow morning, every school in America that's still open, every public school in America will have a police officer or more than one in there. You tell me they won't. Standing guard, trying to keep the violence down. And yet they can't. Schools have become war zones. This didn't happen by chance. It happened because of God's words being perverted. Then the more effects of allowing this apostasy and this them to mess with the book. Now you got illicit sex, which has brought about a disdain for marriage, and the divorce rate is astronomical. Now you just got young men, young women, when they grow up, all they want to do is live together. Shack up. Yeah, you know I'm right. That's because somebody used to stand for something, but now they don't stand for it. Because the words of God has been perverted. Due to all this living together without marriage, now you got an extreme rise in illegitimate children all over this country. They grow up without a daddy or without a mama, and sometimes both. Now you got your grandfathers having to raise the children. That didn't come about by chance. Morals have been thrown out the windows. Not to mention how much they've dumbed down our curriculum in school, going back to that. Look at our school standards. They ain't near what it used to be. They've dumbed it down so that they can just pass them on through. Just like a bunch of cattle. Let's get them out of here. I know teenagers, 19, 20, 21 years old, young men, that don't even know they couldn't even read the first page in this Bible. Don't even know how to write. And been through 12 years of your public school. The United States is ranked, the last I checked, 13th in education scores of the PISA scores. 13th in the world. Oh. But we got the lottery. And that's supposed to help the education, right? For us to have the best education standards in the world. Yeah, that's a failure too. Well, with these false versions being accepted, you got murder, abortion. That's legal. I call abortion murder. That's not what it is. You see where these versions has brought us to, these perverted versions? Right on down the list. Check your history. Abortion is illegal. Murder of innocent babies is legal. Homosexuality is tolerated as the normal thing when God's word says it's an abomination unto God. America has no friends overseas, yet she supports, loans, and gives money to her enemies. Isn't that the craziest thing you ever heard of? That's what's happening. On top of all that, America's bankrupt with a debt that she can never pay off. And with these false perversions of the Bible, with these Bible correctors, and with these apostate scholars, teachers, Christian colleges, seminaries, apostate preachers, and churches, America's bankrupt spiritually. Not only bankrupt financially and monetarily, but spiritually. This bankrupt spiritual condition is the absolute reason why this country is in the moral and spiritual decadence that it finds itself in today. I can quote Dr. Ruckman one more time right here, because I agree with him on this. He said, the course of apostasy, this killing coil that wraps itself around a nation and strangles it to death, this boa constrictor that crushes the spiritual life out of a country, is marked at every movement by a corrupt Bible version. And I say he's right. Everything that I just went over, and there's more, is brought about because they perverted the words of God. But on the lighter side, praise God, this book, Our Final Authority, the King James 1611 Bible, is still standing, even after all this devilish attack upon it. And the Word of God still says, Psalms 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Mankind may try to destroy it, but they can't do it, because God said it's forever settled in heaven. Luke chapter 21, verse 33, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And that's a guarantee right there. That's a guarantee. In this poem right here, I think it sums it all up. This is the greatest book on earth. Unparalleled it stands. Its author, God, is truth divine. Inspired by every word and line, though writ by human hands. This is the living rock of truth, which all assaults defies. O'er every stormy blast of time, it towers with majesty and sublime. It lives and never dies. This is the volume of the cross. Its saving truth is sure. Its doctrine pure. Its history true. Its gospel old, yet ever new, shall evermore endure. Don't mess with the book. You cannot improve upon it. It's God's words. His words shall never pass away. And I'm thankful tonight to have a book from my God that I can count on. I don't have to lay my head down on my pillow tonight and worry about, is God going to take care of everything? Is God going to take care of me? I don't have to worry tonight about tomorrow, because the author of my book right here that I hold in my hand, he holds tomorrow. Amen. Brother Gene, will you dismiss us in prayer?